This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Even if you haven't heard of my guest, the Canadian singer-songwriter Ron Sexsmith, you probably do know two of his fans, Paul McCartney and Elvis Costello. In 1995, Costello said about Sexsmith's first CD, "I've been playing it all year and could listen to it for another 20. One of Sexsmith's songs is featured on the new CD Costello recorded with singer Anne Sophie Von Otter. Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker has praised Sexsmith's music. In a 1999 review, Ken said, "Sexsmith's music takes its strength from the author's lyrical vulnerability, yet his material rarely sounds spineless or soggy because he has such a sure sense of melody and narrative." Sexsmith's fourth CD, Blue Boy, has just been released. It's produced by fellow singer-songwriter and guitarist Steve Earle. Ron Sexsmith brought his guitar for our interview, but let's start with the opening track from his new CD. It's called This Song.
Brought a song into this world, just a melody with words. It trembles here before my eyes. How can this song survive? I brought it to the Tower of Gold.
That's Ron Sexsmith from his new CD, Blue Boy. Ron Sexsmith, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks a lot.
This new CD is more rock-oriented than some of your earlier work, and you have a new producer for it, the singer-songwriter and guitarist Steve Earle. Tell me about the new sound on the new CD.
It's kind of more, I guess you could say I'm revisiting an older sound. When Steve Earle first heard me, it was actually back in 1988 when I was playing with my band in Toronto, and he literally just walked in off the street. And we were doing more of an up-tempo thing, almost, in a Buddy Holly and the Crickets mode. And I guess, you know, he's been following my career, you know, the three records, and he's always wondered why I hadn't made a record like that. So I think that was one of his main ideas going into this album, was that he was determined for it to rock a bit more.
So many great rock records are about the production on the record as well as the song itself. So I'm wondering, when you write a song, if you hear the kind of production you want for it.
Every now and then I'll have a pretty clear vision of how a song should go. And sometimes it goes exactly that way. But more often than not, because I'm collaborating with a producer who's hearing it and getting his own ideas, the songs often take on surprising shapes, you know. On this record, there was... even the first song, which was written more as a, like I say, kind of a country shuffle or a rock and roll shuffle, Steve heard it more, in kind of Beatle territory, you know, like something off of Revolver. And so it was kind of a nice surprise for me to see that it could go that way. And it comes on quite strong with the horns and everything. So, and that happens all the time. And there's also a song that was written... like almost a straight-ahead Gordon Lightfoot song that turned into a ska tune on the record.
I really like your songwriting. When did you start being aware of song craft and of what it was that you admired about well-written songs?
I guess I've always been attracted to music that was strong melodically. I guess beginning, you know, with Buddy Holly... he was always much more melodic than Elvis Presley, for example, you know. And I know that he was a big influence on the Beatles, which I gradually stumbled upon as well. The first guy that ever really turned me on to songwriting or made me want to be a songwriter was probably Ray Davies. I remember hearing him on the radio.
This is Ray Davies of the Kinks.
Ray Davies of the Kinks, yeah. I remember hearing him on the radio. I was driving with my dad, and All Day and All the Night came on, and I'd never heard it before. I must have been about 15 or 16, and I'm sure that it had the same effect on me as someone hearing it for the first time in 65 or whenever it came out. The very next day, I rushed out and bought this album called The Golden Hour of the Kinks, and I was hooked, really. His songs, they were so... They just seemed like they were... perfect, you know, perfect, these little vignettes and little gems, and where he would have these characters, and sometimes there'd be a story that would resolve in just a matter of, you know, two or three verses. And so I still hear a lot of his influence in my music.
Before you started recording, you were, I believe, hired as a songwriter for a record label. Most record labels outside of, say, Nashville, I think, don't have songwriters on hire. How did this come about?
Well, I'd been struggling for years in Toronto trying to get off the ground, and I eventually made an independent cassette called Grand Opera Lane that, you know, made its way down to some Los Angeles labels. And, I mean, I couldn't get anything happening in Canada, and all of a sudden there were these big honchos from L.A. flying in to see me. And the feeling was from almost everyone that saw me was that I was a better songwriter than a singer or a performer. So I ended up getting signed to Interscope Publishing. And at that time, I thought, well, maybe that's all it's ever going to be. It was a bit disappointing because it was a kind of like winning second prize in a way. So for the first year, I just wrote songs and for myself, you know, but with the idea that maybe someone else would record them and that possibly would lead to me getting a chance to do them myself. So I was really surprised when, you know, about a year later, we were getting interest from labels about signing me. And things started to open up for me, and next thing you know, I was signing a record contract.
When you were signed to the publishing company, did anyone record your songs?
No, it's funny. It's only, it's something that's happening very recently. I mean, Rod Stewart was the first big cut that I had a few years ago, and that didn't, I mean, it didn't sell a whole lot and stuff, but that was one of the first ones. And recently, you know, we've had Mary Black and Sophie Van Otter, who's a Swedish opera singer, who just covered one of my songs. So little by little, it's getting out there that these songs are coverable.
You mentioned the song Secret Heart that Rod Stewart did. It's your song. Maybe you can sing a little bit of it for us.
Yeah. Actually, my voice will probably sound a bit like Rod Stewart's today. It's been kind of, I've been doing so many interviews, it's been getting quite gravelly. Here we go. Secret heart, what are you made of? What are you so afraid of? Could it be three simple words, or the fear of being overheard? What's wrong? Let her in on your secret heart. That's the first verse, anyway.
Let me play another track from your new CD, Blue Boy. And this is another song that you wrote. We've mentioned that Steve Earle produced your new CD. He's featured on guitar on this. The song is called Just My Heart Talking. Tell us something about writing it.
Well, it's actually, you know, a song that I'm very proud of. It's you know, one of my favorites on the record, actually. You know, I'm having a hard time remembering exactly what triggered it off, but I guess it's a song about, you know, life on the road in a way, and temptation and all that stuff that can get you into trouble. It was also written at a time when, you know, my home situation, my relationship was you know, it wasn't going very well. And so there's a bit of that in this song of, you know, because I guess in life we're sort of guided by all these different things. Sometimes it's our conscience and sometimes it's our heart, and other times it's more of an you know, these animal urges as we have as human beings, etc. But anyway, so it's kind of, I was trying to get all this into this simple pop song, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I like simple pop songs, especially when they're well written.
So they're my favorite kind.
So this is Just My Heart Talking. And when you wrote the song, did you hear it in your head with this kind of arrangement, or did the version of it on the CD transform the song for you?
This is one of those that came off pretty much the way I envisioned it. It's a little, you know, more, again, I guess it has more of a Beatle-y sound than I expected. I remember when I first wrote it, I had this this idea in my head for the solo to be played on, like a celesta or a xylophone, kind of the way, remember the song by Buddy Holly, Every Day? There was a little solo. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and it was good that Steve put some acoustic guitar on this track, which kind of holds it down. It gives it a kind of, you know, he's kind of holding it down in the way that John Lennon used to do with those Beatle recordings. So, but yeah, I think it came out quite nice.
This is Ron Sexsmith from his new CD, Blue Boy.
My eyes are telling me leave well enough alone. These boots are telling me keep walking. Another voice is saying don't let go. That's just my heart talking. It's always leading me where I do not belong. The door is where I shouldn't be knocking. Trying to pass itself off for a song. That's just my heart talking. It's talking, and sometimes I don't know what to say. Pretend to look the other way. You talking to me.
That's Just My Heart Talking from Ron Sexsmith's new CD, Blue Boy. You mentioned that some of your songs have a kind of Beatle-y sound to them. I know Paul McCartney is one of the people who really admires your work, and I believe you met him once. Was it awkward for you to meet him since you admire the Beatles' work so much? It can be very awkward to meet someone who's a personal hero.
I still can't get over the fact that I met him. It was, I mean, it was my very first time in England, and about a week later, I'm sitting across the table from him at his house having breakfast, and it was surreal, you know, to say the least. I couldn't even look at him for the first half an hour or so. And the other thing is, I was a big fan of Wings, and so when I started to open up and to talk to him a bit more, all my questions were I'd say 90% about various Wings tracks, which I think he was kind of flattered, because I'm sure he's tired of talking about the Beatles all the time. So I mean, after that, things started to get, you know, I loosened up, and we actually got around to playing some guitars, where I played Listen to What the Man Said, which was a big hit for Wings.
My guest is Ron Sexsmith. His new CD is called Blue Boy. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ron Sexsmith. He has a new CD called Blue Boy. When you were young and playing in a band, did you go through a period of doing mostly cover songs? I don't know if you went through a period of playing in bars.
I did, yeah. That's for me, that was the equivalent of someone going to college to become a lawyer or something. I mean, the minute I got out of high school, I was 17, and my brother arranged an audition for me at this local bar where he was playing in a band. And I got the gig. And for about 4 years, almost every weekend, I was playing this place called the Lion's Tavern, just doing everybody else's songs. I was pretty much a one-man jukebox. It was good for me.
Well, I was thinking that the good thing about that, if you're a would-be songwriter, is that you really get to study other people's songs and maybe hear things about their structure you might otherwise have noticed if you weren't. You know, you notice more if you're playing it than if you're just listening.
That's exactly it. I think more people should do that sometimes. I think it's, I mean, you know, when you're learning songs by the Beatles and Paul Simon and Neil Diamond or whoever it is, or, you know, Gordon Lightfoot and all these people, obviously they have a lot of experience there. Even though some of the songs that I was playing were songs that they wrote when they were younger, I mean, they must have learned from somebody too.
I'm going to ask you to play an excerpt of a song that you used to play during your cover era, a song that you think is really well made, and you noticed how well written it was when you used to perform it. Maybe tell us why you like it too.
Well, you know, coming from Canada, I mean, someone I've heard all my life was Gordon Lightfoot, and you know, when you're playing the bars, there are certain staples, I guess, like, you know, Neil Young. Obviously, you could play Neil Young all night and no one would mind, and or Creedence Clearwater and all those people. And so I did all of that, and Gord was always one of my favorites. And I think this is, you know, a lot of people call him a folky, but he was actually a pop songwriter. You know, there are songs, his songs are very well crafted, almost like Bacharach in a way. And this is one of the songs that I think opened my eyes a bit. At times I just don't know how you could be anything but beautiful. Think that I was made for you, you were made for me. And I know that I will never change, 'cause we've been friends through rain or shine for such a long, long time. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Gordon Lightfoot is Canadian, you're Canadian. Did it matter a lot to you when you started listening to music if somebody was Canadian or not? Like, was Joni Mitchell special to you because she's from Canada?
It actually took me a while to get around to the Canadian songwriters, you know, because, I mean, the first people I stumbled upon that really affected me were the British writers, like Ray Davies and Pete Townsend and all those folks. But as I got into my early 20s, you know, I did start to look elsewhere. And I remember Gordon Lightfoot, for example, was very influential in that after seeing him in concert, I just thought it was beautiful how he was standing up there on stage at that time in his 50s and playing these great songs without making a big spectacle of himself, you know, without any embarrassment. And it made me realize that just the importance of a good song, really, you know. And it's the reason why Joni Mitchell and Dylan and all those guys can continue playing. You know, their music has never been about, you know, sexuality or being youthful. Even when they were young, they were kind of old souls. And that had a big impact on me.
We've been talking about song craft and songwriters who influenced you. I'm wondering if you've ever gotten into a period of listening to a lot of Tin Pan Alley or, you know, American popular song, the Broadway songs.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I did kind of come full circle from the British invasion to the more of, you know, like the folk songwriters, I guess you could say. I just was really hungry for more, really. I had friends, older friends, who turned me on to people like Randy Newman and Tom Waits. And I think through them, that kind of made me go back and to check out, you know, Hoagy Carmichael, for example, or Cole Porter, and all those great songwriters. I think some of the greatest songs of the last century were written in that era, and not in the, you know, I mean, Brian Wilson, all those guys wrote obviously some beautiful stuff, but I still rate a song like Stardust, for example, to be one of the best songs ever written. And Every Time We Say Goodbye by Cole Porter is really brilliant. There's a kind of craft there that it wasn't about the hook, like so much of the music is today, where it's almost like it doesn't matter what's going on in the verse, because it's when the chorus hits, everybody can sing along. You know, their songs were subtle, and I think subtlety is almost an endangered species these days.
Do you ever sing Every Time We Say Goodbye?
I do. I can play a bit of that if you like.
Yeah, tell us what's going on in the song that you so admire.
Okay, if I can. It's just one of those songs that, I mean, there's a strong sense of craft involved. You know, there's the famous line where he says, from major to minor, and the chords change from major to minor at that exact point, which is brilliant, really, you know. And
that's the line that goes. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor.
That's right. Yeah, and that's very, like, I could do that verse if you
sure,
like.
That would be great.
This one.
Yeah,
good. When you're near, there's such an air of spring about it. I can hear a lark somewhere begin to sing about it. There's no love song finer, and how strange this change from major to minor. every time we say goodbye. So that's just one of the songs, many songs that I aspire to write, you know, or wish I could have written.
Ron Sexsmith has a new CD called Blue Boy. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Canadian singer-songwriter and guitarist Ron Sexsmith. He has a new CD called Blue Boy. There's a song on your new CD that is more of a jazz pop kind of song.
Yes.
Than a rock pop kind of song, and it's called Foolproof.
That's right.
It's unlike most of the songs that you write because of that jazz flavor to it. Tell us a little bit about this song, and then we'll hear some of it.
Okay, well, that's a song that is almost like an exercise. I was watching Diana Krall on TV. Are you familiar with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a jazz singer and pianist.
Yeah, and she was doing, an old standard, and it was great. But I kept thinking to myself that, you know, there's so many great new songs that she could be doing as well, you know. And I remember I had a basketball game to go to. My son was playing in a game, and I started thinking of a song for Diana Krall, and I pretty much wrote the whole song at the basketball game, and I still don't know who won that game. You know, I was just that's the downside of having a songwriter for a dad, I guess. But when I got home, I worked it out. I found the chords to go along with it, and it all came to me quite fast. And I had no intention of recording it, to be honest with you, because like I say, it was written with someone else in mind. But Steve really liked that song, and he was the one that actually encouraged me to try it on the piano, because I guess he heard it in that late night, you know, Chet Baker territory. And when as I was recording it, I was actually trying to sing it like Charlie Rich, who's probably my favorite singer of all time. But what you're hearing is the very first take of my very first attempt at playing it on piano. It sounds very relaxed, but it was actually a nervous wreck, just praying I wasn't going to make any bum notes.
Okay, here it is, Foolproof, from Ron Sexsmith's new CD, Blue Boy.
Foolproof. That's what my heart's become. And I challenge anyone to break in, challenge anyone to make me open up the door, 'cause I've been fooled before, and now I'm fooled.
That's Ron Sexsmith singing his song, Foolproof, and he's also featured at the piano. It's on his new CD, Blue Boy. You've opened for a lot of people over the years. You've opened, correct me if I'm wrong here, for Elvis Costello, The Chieftains, Sarah McLachlan, Radiohead. These are different kinds of performers with different kinds of audiences, and the one thing they had in common is that you're opening. So what's it like for you to do your songs to an audience that isn't necessarily your audience? I don't necessarily know who you are yet.
You know, the first record, I pretty much, that's all I did was open for people. And I used to get really, really kind of down about it sometimes, because I wouldn't be on the poster, and oftentimes I would, you know, the lights would go down and everybody would start going nuts, and then this guy they never heard of would walk out on stage, you know. So I found it a bit humbling, but I kept doing it, and I think there were some tours. The Elvis Costello tour was a bit different because he had been so vocal about my record that I think his audience, you know, they knew about me and they were very respectful. But sometimes I found it could be real. Like when I opened for Tori Amos a couple times, I just felt, what am I doing here, really, you know? So it's something that I try to do less of these days, just for my own peace of mind or my self-esteem, because I figure if I have to be on the road as much as I am, I'd rather be playing my own shows.
We know a lot of rock critics who write about you talk about how terrific your songs and your performances are, and yet how little radio play you get, and how you haven't, quote, broken out yet. I imagine that, you know, your record companies have tried things to make it like, okay, this time, this time is really going to break through. Are there things that you've had to do that you weren't really that enthusiastic about doing?
I mean, on record or
no,
just,
no, to just try to publicize yourself.
Oh, well, I always feel a bit, because I guess I've spent all this time working on the music and stuff, that by the time I did get signed, all of a sudden, all these other aspects of the business that I hadn't really been preparing for, for example, I'm a fashion disaster. You know, I've never known how to dress. I've never had a hairdo. You know, my weight goes up and down all the time. So I always feel kind of like apologetic for, you know, for like video directors and stuff like that. It's like, oh, you know, what are you gonna do with me, right? I mean, I'm always willing to do the work. I do all the interviews, and I just came back from a 12-country press tour, you know. So some of it can get a bit awkward, but it's mostly the visual aspect of it that I find a bit, I'm trying to get better at, you know, because I don't think ultimately that's what's going to make or break me. I'm also trying to sing better, too, because I think when I hear my records now, there's not a single track that I wouldn't do over, you know, because I think my singing has gotten better, and so I think it's just a matter of getting the right record and having a little luck on your side.
What have you been doing to try to improve your singing?
Just listening to a lot of Charlie Rich. I don't know. Every record, I just think, you know, it's like, I guess the thing I'm doing is trying to learn from my mistakes, you know. I remember the first record, I just kept thinking that I was singing so much behind the beat, and I thought my vibrato was a bit untamed at different points. And so the second record, I tried to approach it differently. And now when I hear that record, I think I'm in slow motion. And so with each record, I've just, and I think that's true of even like Dylan. If you listen to his records from album to album, he sounds different, you know. I don't think my voice has been that radically different from record to record, but I'd like to think that it's getting better in subtle ways.
Well, one last thing before you go. I often ask songwriters when they're on the show to take a song that they didn't write, that they really love, but that they have to justify liking because other people think the song is really square or corny. In other words, to redeem a song. Is there a song like that that you could redeem for us?
There must be. Let me think. Yeah, well, one song is I've always liked was Anne Murray's Snowbird. You know that song?
Yeah. Not that, well, though.
Well, that up here is kind of like it's a song that obviously most people would snicker at, but it was such a huge hit. And on my last tour, we used to come out for our encore and we'd do it, and it was a real feeling of almost national pride everywhere we went. People would just absolutely go berserk, you know.
She's Canadian.
She's Canadian, yeah. And I think because when you listen to the song, I think it's actually a very powerful song, a very sad song, you know. So should I play a bit of that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me see here. Beneath this snowy mantle, cold and gray, the unborn grass lies waiting for the snow to melt away. The snowbird sings the song he always sings, and it speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything my heart would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within, for the things that I want most in life are the things that I can't win.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away. And take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. Oh, my love forever is untrue. And if I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
So, you know, that's one of those songs that... That's really a well-written song that I think maybe it got overdone on radio, I guess.
That sounded good, though.
Yeah,
thanks. Thank you for doing that. And thank you so much for talking with us. It's really been a pleasure to have you here and to hear you play. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Ron Sexsmith, he has a new CD called Blue Boy. This is Fresh Air.